Hello and welcome to another episode of What Do You Call It podcast. I'm your host, GB. We're taking a small break from wrestling-related interviews, but this episode is still going to be a special one. Today's guest is a visually impaired photographer, filmmaker, TEDx speaker, photographer, and ambassador for Sense, who support everyone who is deafblind or has complex disabilities. Please welcome a genuine friend of mine, Ian Trahan. How you doing, mate? You all good? Trahan.
I'm good, thanks, mate. Yeah, I'm very well. By the way, I'm not Russell Brand, so...
Do you get that a lot?
Sometimes, yeah. Though we were born both in the same hospital. He was born in Alsett Hospital in Grays. That's where I'm originally from. Yeah, we were born in the same hospital, but no, I'm definitely not Russell
That's
Brand.
Where the similarities stop. That's literally...
And I'm not that funny either, so...
I don't know, you're TEDx, mate. You're TEDx talk. For me, it blew me away, to be honest. It was about 10, 15 minutes. You were confident, you were cracking jokes and just making light of, you know, what the situation is, but at the same time, wasn't shying away from it. And it was really nice. Made me smile watching that.
Yeah, that was a pretty intense but exciting time, really. I mean, you know, I'm a shy, introverted person, naturally. So to be standing up in front of 500 people and talking about blindness and photography. I kind of wanted to use humour to sort of educate at the same time, because I found that, you know, if you sort of lecture people, like you're doing this one, people don't really sort of take it in. But I think if you sort of use humour, people go, oh, yeah, that is quite ridiculous what we're doing. Maybe we can...
But in a way, with the humour, it kind of normalises it. Like, it's okay. You know, don't be scared.
I mean, I found really sort of since coming out as a blind person, I mean, I sort of been a closeted blind person for a long time. I've been losing my eyesight since I was 15 years old. And it wasn't really until sort of maybe about 2012, 13 that I started to open up about it. And then when I did the TEDx talk, in 2019, I kind of sort of fully fledged out the closet, embracing what I'm all about, really.
And that's not actually how I know you, to be fair, not the TEDx talk. I've actually known you for probably about, I don't know, 12, 13 years. And I wasn't actually aware of your disability time. You took a photo of me. It was at the Southend Film Festival, but I won the Best Music Video Award. And it feels like another lifetime ago. You might not specifically remember this. It was only a quick encounter with you anyway. But then I noticed, I think it was, the name was Gary from my old class, upload a photo that you had taken. I was like, oh, where the fuck you get that from? It's like, yeah, hi, I can send it to you if you want. It's like, yeah, yes, please, Ian. And then, you know, since I've known you then, and also did a music video in your old studio, which is really cool, in Rochford. And the music video itself, I'm not really going to comment on it, but it was I'm sure it was an interesting experience for Ian. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that was a good little studio. I had that for about 11 years. I learned my craft in there, you know, because when I first started doing photography, you know, I was a guy just full of passion and enthusiasm, but no idea of how to do anything. All I knew was that I just wanted to do it. And it was a case of just sort of teaching myself, really. And that studio was a great space to sort of learn my craft and figure out what kind of photographer am I. But yeah, I'm not there anymore.
I was going to find this out.
Not many people know this, but when I got that studio space in 2011-12, at that point in my life, I'd just gone through a massive, I would say mental breakdown. I lost my job, my eyes have got worse. I lost my driver's license. I had to hand in my driver's license, couldn't drive anymore. I lost my flat, I was repossessed, I had to file for bankruptcy. I literally lost everything, you know. It was enough, you know, for anyone to sort of throw themselves off a bridge.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was just purely asking this guy that just ran the corner, whether I could take on this space. I mean, I'm not kidding, when I show you these pictures, when I saw the space, it was an absolute shithole.
Oh,
It was
really?
absolute dive, like you wouldn't recognize it, but I'm very good at seeing past the crap and
Yeah.
seeing the vision of, like, what I could do to turn this space into a working space. No, it was an absolute dive, mate.
I'm quite
Oh
surprised by it because the
my
one when there was really nice, it had that sort of classic look to it, quite vintage, a bit retro, but I could tell you looked after it.
God. I'm very good at polishing a turd. That's what I'm
Yeah.
very good at doing. No, I was just very lucky. I asked the guy and he said, "Yeah, I've got a space here, but you're going to need to clear it out and do it up." And that's what I did. I cleared it out and painted it and sort of turned it into a working studio. And yeah, I had all kinds of things happening there. I'd like yourself in there making a little video. I had other people hiring it out, or yeah, I was always up for sort of letting people use it, because I know it's really hard to find a space,
Yeah.
to do things. So
Especially with something to do with visual effects and cameras.
yeah, I mean, it was a an unusual building. I mean,
Yeah.
because it was in a printing company firm, so the place just stunk of high fumes. I mean, I've got used to it over the years, but like when people come in, they'd be like, crikey, crikey, it's really like,
I didn't mind the
pungent.
spot, to be fair. Like the factory smell, isn't it? Just
It's a factory smell kind
wasn't.
of thing. Breathe it in.
It
Might help the creativity. But yeah, no, it was a good little space. It was a bizarre little place, really. But no, I'm super happy that, the guy, he was very open, willing to, let this eccentric photographer take over, a room, and he just left me in peace to do my thing, totally trusted me.
Yeah.
Like I say, I was there for 11 years, which I can't get my head around. I think that's the longest I've ever been anywhere. But yeah, sadly, I left that place end of last year in December.
Sad to hear that you got, you had to hang up the boots, but you got some good memories from me, haven't you?
Yeah, a lot of good memories, and but I just felt it was time to end a chapter, start a new chapter. Not end of photography, but because through that time I started to do more work in London, working in London studios. So I was using the place less and less, and I don't know, like the pandemic happened, and it kind of like a lot of things. It was kind of like the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Just sort of felt, yeah, it was time to, let it go. I was really sad, obviously, but I'm feeling really confident about the new chapter, and I don't have to sniff the fumes anymore. So
Oh man, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, sad to hear, but at the same time, there's a new chapter that's coming up, and I will discuss the new chapter. But I want to rewind the clocks a little bit, and I know we did touch on the photography, and you mentioned about sort of when you was 15, unfortunately, like you was losing sight, and then as you got older, it became more difficult. But I want to know, how did you find your love for photography, and how did you get into it to begin with?
Gosh, yeah, photography has been one of those things that has always been in the background in my life from a young age. I can remember the first thing really that kind of happened was, it all stemmed from films. I mean, my photography is generally inspired by, film, cinema. Like I used to, well, I still do, I watch films all the time. I'm like a harsh film critic at times, but I love movies
We
and
won't talk
I love
about Adam Sandler films then. Don't worry, Ian.
but yeah, I mean, they were like silent films, like on the Channel 4 back in the late 80s. And what I haven't mentioned is that I was born profoundly deaf,
Yeah.
so watching these silent movies like Buster Keaton, and by the way, I'm not like really old, by the way, he was on like in
Don't
the
worry,
80s.
that's reveal your age on here, Ian. Don't worry, don't worry.
But yeah, I just really loved the aesthetic of it all, like the contrast and the tone and the mid-tone and highlight, and I don't know, it just fascinated me. And then that kind of sort of led on to, watching more films and sort of studying the cinematography, the composition or what makes a good scene. But at the same time, I think it was seeing a photo of James Dean, that was photographed by a guy called Dennis Stock, who's not a really well-known photographer. He's more known for the photo of James Dean. But yeah, there was these particular photos he did of James Dean. I just thought, oh man, they just look cool. There was just that there you could tell it was a new era of photography. It was like late 50s, so it was kind of like beatnik sort of vibe, and
Bit more grainy.
yeah, a bit more grainy, but a bit more you could tell they were sort of breaking the boundaries rather than being sort of quite generic sort of style. Yeah, I just remember seeing a portrait of him, and I just thought, oh man, I'd love to, create something like that. And then it sort of just got lost in my brain as I was growing up. And I think it was just over, and I remember, I think I got to about 14. It's going to sound really weird, but I've got an older sister. She's got the same condition. She's deafblind like myself.
Wow. Didn't know.
It's a genetic condition, and she's a bit older than me. Something that we got from our parents. It's a condition called RP, type 2 Usher syndrome.
Like tunnel vision.
Recommend. Yeah, most people know it as tunnel vision.
Not like, but yeah.
Basically, you have like everything's all completely black, and like right in the middle, tiny little dot, like a pinhole of sight that I use. But yeah, most people know it as tunnel vision. But yeah, my sister used to leave all her Just 17 magazines in my bedroom for some reason. I don't know why they got dumped in there. I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
So
she left them there. She left them there.
yeah, she left in there. Yeah, and obviously, being a young boy, I was like, oh, what are these? I need to check these out. And when I used to go through these magazines, and you've got to remember, this is like early 90s. And I can remember it was a picture of Kate Moss that I saw, and would learn later on that the photographer was called Peter Lindbergh, a German photographer. And I just remember seeing that photo and just being blown away by it. It was like seeing a piece of art at the National Gallery in London. It was a piece of art to me.
You're hooked.
And I was like, and it obviously it was in black and white, but there was just something about it. And I just remember thinking, I want to be a photographer. That's what I want to do. I want to capture
Kate Moss
that kind.
inspired you. That's awesome. I'm not actually
Yeah,
being sarcastic either. Like, I know she's quite
it's
big in like
weird.
the models and the photo scene, but I didn't expect to hear the name, but for her to be that inspiration that's led to the career that you have.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. They're like little things that sort of been planted along the way in my life that kept sort of saying, Ian, have a look at this. Because like I say, this is before I was diagnosed. So I was already obsessed with imagery, and it always seemed to be black and white. Yeah, it was Peter Lindbergh. He did quite a lot for like Calvin Klein. Yeah, it's just sort of lots of it was that kind of era where Kate Moss was really popular, and she was this new supermodel kind of thing. But he had a style that was just yeah, it's just very soft and beautiful and natural. He was never into this whole photoshopping sort of style. You could see like the eye bags, from the night before from partying or whatever. It was just
I'm
very
going to
natural.
ask you about that, by the way, the Photoshop photos. Not now, but I will come back to it. Just this day and age with like Instagram and whatever social media is, and just where the photos are manipulated to the point where they just look fucking.
I feel really sad about it because I feel like we've kind of gone forward, we recognize, oh yeah, this is not a great idea. So all the, commercial companies have toned that down or stopped it. But then at the same time, in the social media world, it's just been ramped up to like the most extreme, intense levels that, people, getting, mental health problems from it. The ridiculous amount of filtering and adjustments.
And they can all do it just on their phone now. You don't need to get the photographer. You need to get someone on Photoshop or, that actually knows how to do, professional photos now. Just look at your phone. I'm not saying they look good, by the way. doing their phone, but it's easy, isn't it? It's just like, okay, cool. Everyone else, yep, this is great.
It's kind of weird because when I first started doing photography, I was kind of felt pressured into doing that. But I've got to a point where now I kind of refuse it, and often it's caused sometimes problems because people actually hate the real selves, which I find really tragic and sad.
I
And
do understand though where they're coming from, 100%. You know, sometimes
I
told
get
like
it.
you might look beautiful and everyone else says it, but in your mind you still think, oh, that imperfection. Oh, I could lose a bit more weight, and then you see other photos, and it's just how the mind works as well.
I can understand it, but I can't, I won't be a part of that problem anymore. I can't, because that's the reason why that, people just don't like seeing what they're seeing. And because when you photograph someone, you're photographing from a different angle. So a lot of times, on social media, it's either up here, and, it's a lot of manipulating in how, they're distorting their body. And we're kind of in a place now in society where we're, not praising, but revering and trying to showcase that it's okay to be, if you're slim or you're curvy or, whatever shape, size, whatever, we're trying to sort of teach that, it's okay. It's not a bad thing. I
Accept
understand,
yourself.
but could I'm terrible in front of the camera, but I've learned, to sort of accept that's what I look like. That's fine. People say they look great, I'll go along with that. But I don't worry about it too much, really. Oh, when I was sort of going through my sister's magazine, sounds really pervy, doesn't it? But yeah, there was a lot of great imagery in the 90s. I loved it. It wasn't it was quite diverse, but it was still sort of singling out certain people. You wouldn't see people with disabilities in magazines. So it was still we were still learning, we were still figuring things out, I mean, Peter Lindbergh was the guy that photographed, like, he was the guy responsible for making the supermodels of, like, Naomi Campbell or Cindy Crawford and many other people. He was the one that made them what they are. He was that guy. He took all these unknown people and just sort of photographed them in such a stunning way that, yeah, his photos look timeless. But yeah, then when I got to 15, I kind of was realizing that I wasn't seeing as much. I wasn't seeing very well because I used to hang out on the street with my friends on my BMX, been out on the street. That's what we used to do back in the day. Yeah, I kind of noticed that I wasn't seeing as well as my friends. So I got my parents to take me to the opticians. And then he said, I've got something seriously wrong and I need to go to the hospital. And that's when they discovered and diagnosed me with the condition and basically sat me down and said, really sorry, but you're going to be going blind over a period of time. Because mine was a really slow deterioration where there's another type one, I think, where it happens overnight. Literally you have sight one day, next day, you're blind. Mind being a slow deterioration, so that was a bit of a shock to the system. And I think that's why it's really important for me, or why I'm obsessed with imagery, because seeing is really important to me. I want to collect as many memories, and I want to see as much as possible. Because it will get harder as I get older. So yeah, that's where the obsession really sort of started to kick off, really.
If you had to describe the style of your photography, I know as someone who is a fan of your photography, I can say like it's black and white, it's very like visual, it's has that grainy to it, and just it's very unique. I'm not really good at names of photographers and stuff, but I just know your work. I can straight away know, yep, that's Ian's.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of Interesting for me because I had a style in mind, and I think it's a combination of things that I've collected from being inspired by certain photographers and filmmakers or styles of film, and then sort of adding my blindness into the photography, and it sort of created this sort of look. And it was a bit of a gamble, really, because I'm sort of not going against the norm, but I'm not really doing what everybody else is doing, so you could easily be sort of cast aside, or not as what's the word? Not as popular, but like doing it your way, you could sort of isolate people, kind of thing. But really, it seems to have worked out quite well, and people seem to like what I do. It's quite s simple photography. I'm quite lazy, really, in a weird
Say
way. I
that.
know it, but I think for me, my motto in life is less is more.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know some photographers, they've got like 100 lights everywhere, all around the studio, like boom, 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 boom. I'm
Yeah.
like, I'm just one light. I'm just a one light guy. That's a one light. And they're like, what? One light? Just one? Yeah, one light. That's all I use. Nothing else. And you can do so much. Because when you think about it, we've only got one sun. Just using one light, you can pretty much do anything you want, really. So,
Hello there. I've got a special announcement for my next guest.
ladies and gentlemen, my name is Joe E. Legend, and I will be appearing on the What Do You Call It podcast.
So we just took a quick break then. Ian was discussing about his photography, his style, and just mentioned about not using too many lights. Actually, in fact, using one light.
Yeah, and I think just using the one light, it kind of gave me the feeling that I wanted to feel, which was like atmosphere, mystery, and definitely it's got that sort of noir sort of vibe to
Yeah.
it, really. But also at the same time, maybe it was unconscious, I don't know, but it kind of mimics a lot of my eyesight. So there's a lot of darkness and sort of patches of light. So yeah, it's kind of worked out quite well, really, sort of
You've
doing
got
it
an
the way that
audience
I...
for it though. Definitely. Like you've got the following that you have, and
Yeah.
in the same county, unless people haven't gathered already, Essex. So, a lot of people that I know are big fans of your work. Like Owen, Williams, my brother. I think you are aware of them as well. So you've got the
Oh,
following. And
cool.
another thing as well, what I liked is when you appeared on Channel 4, the Undateables, and the fact that it was
Yeah.
nice to see someone from Essex South End on the TV and not be for crime. It was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. South End in
Have you seen this man?
a positive way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, Ian
Yeah.
is representing Southend and he's not a criminal.
Yeah.
You've done well.
Yeah. Great. Love it.
But
Yeah,
yeah,
that was a good experience.
the show itself, I gotta ask. I mean, I thought we came across very well, really well. But I want to know, how were you invited to appear in the show? And just give me like your overall experience on the Undateables.
Yeah, it was quite interesting, really, because I, had watched the show, because you got to remember when the Undateable was on, they were Channel 4 were really, the people that sort of helped start the ball rolling in disability inclusion, and because really pre-Undateables there was nothing around like that. It was a
No.
whole new concept. And even when the program was on, there's so much discussion around it, and people could complain about the
It's okay.
title.
Are they being exposed? Is this being done in
Yeah, they've been taken advantage of,
Yeah.
and that was interesting, because just people saying, oh, they've been taken advantage of, you're basically saying that the people that went on there had no idea what they were doing. They
Yeah.
were like forced to do this show, and it's almost a little bit insulting. Because you're basically saying that they haven't got a brain of their own, to make their own decisions. I mean, for me, a lot of people thought that I applied for it. I didn't apply for the show. I was approached by Sense, the charity, which is
Yeah.
the deafblind charity. And they sort of said that, we've been approached by the Undateables, and they're looking for a blind person to go on there, because they hadn't really had many blind people in there. He had a lot of people with autism, Down syndrome, people with what's the condition with the tics? Tourette's, that's it, correct. Yeah, Tourette's. So yeah, there wasn't really sort of much in the sort of blind representation. And I was like, well, I'm a big fan of the show. Yeah, let's do it, And at that time, I was kind of sort of coming out of the blind closet, so to speak. And I thought, yeah, this would be a great way to not sort of confuse people, because I knew that when I was going to go on that show, people were going to say, he doesn't look blind, he looks normal. And that's what I get a lot all the time. You look normal, you don't look blind. And that is the problem. So that
What
was the
does normal
reason.
look like?
Yeah, but I think the problem is people have got an ingrained stereotype.
Yeah.
What people don't realize is that's only based on 7%. So
Yeah.
it's a really small percentage. So the other 93% of us, which I kind of call the sort of in between blindness, people that are mostly blind that might have little patches, they might have blurry spots, they might have a pinhole, it might be foggy, and that's the problem. And I think that was the reason why I really wanted to do the show. And I was fully aware I was probably going to get a lot of flack for doing it. But it was mostly positive.
Yeah.
You're always going to get some kind of
Of
negativity.
course. That's how the world works. It's just the assholes
It's
out there just
yin and
to
yang, isn't
help
it? That's it, exactly. But I think what it made people sort of think, oh, right, so. Blind people don't actually look like this sort of generic
themselves.
stereotype that we've all been, shown in movies and, TV programs and stuff like that. Because I don't use a white cane. I didn't use it at the time. I don't have a guide dog. And also, on top of that, I was taking photos. So you got this blind guy taking photos. You can understand now this is going to be a complete mind fuck.
Oh
And
yeah, now that you actually explain like that to people, I'm not justifying the negative comments, but I kind of do understand because I know you. But if I didn't and I saw that, I would have a little bit of skepticism just because I'm learning myself. You know what I mean? I'm not used to this. And that's why you being on the show was great exposure, even for someone like me.
I mean, and that was kind of it was kind of done all intentionally. I thought, well, could I up until that point. I'm not a fully sighted person, so I don't fit here. I'm not a totally blind person, so I don't fit there. So I've never really fitted anywhere in my life. I've just been like drifting. And I
Yeah.
thought, well, the program does so well in showcasing people with disabilities. And it was a great experience. I mean, for me, it was almost like therapy,
Wow.
sort of building up my confidence. I mean, the guy that was filming me called Eddie. He was just such a great interviewer. He really sort of helped build my confidence and
Yeah.
you're this guy, he's who you are, don't be ashamed or afraid, to show who you are as a person. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, this is me and I'm not gonna be ashamed of that really.
What did your
But
friends and family say about it, by the way? What was their feedback and their reaction to it all?
well, I don't really have a close relationship with my family, so I wouldn't have a clue what they thought about it. I wouldn't know. But my friends, it's quite weird. That's an interesting question. Yeah, a lot of people that talked about it more were people I didn't really know that
Oh.
well. People that were close to me. I think they were still struggling with why is he on this program?
Yeah.
The program called The Undateables. And by the way, when I tell you this is not what I think. This is what people tell me.
Oh,
People have said,
okay.
people have gone, you're way too good looking to be on that program.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, one, I don't think that of myself. That's not how I perceive myself. That's not ever how I ever thought of myself. I've always felt very uncomfortable being in myself, because when you're born deaf blind, you're very different to everyone else. It's very hard to fit into society. But yeah, I was more interested in the remarks and the comments that people were saying, and people were complaining about the title. Oh, it shouldn't be called The Undateables. But I can tell you from experience, that's how I felt. And I know that all the other people that went on the show, that is also how they felt. They felt undateable because they don't fit in to the generic idea of society ways of dating. We've always been on the outside, because you've got to remember, not that long ago, I'm going far back to 2012, up until that point, you never really saw people on TV with disabilities. If you did see someone with disabilities, they were normally the butt of a joke
Yeah, it'd
or
be
something.
over the top.
Doing a program, I just thought, one, it was an amazing experience, and I learned so much from it. But personally, when I've watched the program, I've learned a lot. I mean, I knew nothing about Tourette's. I would have been just as ignorant as anyone else if I'd been walking down the street and someone was hurling like abuse or
I don't know,
some
in Essex, that's quite normal.
a Friday night.
That's a bit.
I was just as ignorant. But yeah, when I saw the program, I was like, oh, well, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, I understand it now. And weirdly, I think a year after I did the program, I was going somewhere, and I went to America or something, and I met a guy that I had to sit next to on a plane, and he had Tourette's, and he was shouting out, I've got a bomb. Yeah. But I was like, oh yeah, but the guy's got Tourette's. I'm cool. I'm not worried. But you can tell everyone else was a little bit concerned. But he said, I've got Tourette, blah blah blah. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. Like, because I've learned something from the program. So they really sort of paved the way to sort of get people to question things about disability.
And
And
get a better
you on that
understanding.
way.
I think as
Yeah.
well, I think a lot of people actually kind of missed the point of the show and just saw the label, saw some clips online, and just thought, oh, they're just taking the piss. But I think watch the fucking show. Hello there. I've got a special announcement from the next guest.
It's your boy, one half of Act Two, Jack Nudson, and I will be appearing on the What Do You Call It podcast.
Heard. We just took a quick break, and hopefully, the last break we take for this engaging interview. As I said in the beginning, it's non-wrestling related, but I like doing these kind of special episodes. Gives me opportunity to take a break. And I feel like I'm really learning from Ian and his stories and just how open you are. But you're saying about just as we come to the end of the undateables discussion and your experience and a positive experience and how others may fortunately perceive it in a bad way. But I do see where a lot of people do come from, they do. But I do feel like you should watch it first before you really comment on it, as opposed to one or two clips and seeing what the name's called before you really judge the show, because it's given people a platform that would never get a platform on other shows.
Now, I mean, they had recently had a well, I think a couple of years ago, they had a guy. I think he's from Essex as well, funny enough.
Really?
He was blind in one eye, and that was the first time that had someone with disabilities. And I think the year before that, I had a young girl that had cochlear implant. So for
Oh, nice.
me, yeah, so there it's slow progress, but what I'm sort of seeing now is the younger generation are really ramping it up, and they're confident in what they're doing. They own what they are, or who they are as a person, and yeah, Love Island is definitely has jumped on board. Taken a long time,
That's what I mean.
but
Like those sort of shows that when Undateables did come out. Yeah, the people that were on Undateables may have not just got that opportunity. And then there's that show's coming out. And then, even yourself, you had the great experience. And has anyone asked for your autograph, by the way, or photos purely based on your appearance on that?
no, not at
Really?
all. I think I've only been recognised once or twice, I think. I think the trouble is, because I'm so introverted and shy as a person, and half the time I can't see anyone when I'm out and about anyway. But yeah, no, I don't get that kind of level of of fame. People say I'm famous, but I definitely don't feel famous at all. And just to let you know, if you want to watch The Undateables, it's on Netflix. It's season 7, episode 1. It starts off with a guy, Postman Sam, who's a really funny character. But yeah, no, it was a great experience. It's not on anymore. That's all come to an end. But it definitely piqued a lot of people's interest. Because from that point onwards, I was getting approached by a sort of photography companies like Wex Photo and Film. Because I don't think they heard of a blind photographer before. I think I'm kind of, I hate to say, I think I'm really the only one that's not the only one. There are a few of us scattered about, but I'm primarily the one that's more predominant as a blind photographer. There's loads scattered around the globe.
Are you in
But
contact with any of them?
I mean, the fact that Canon, that's the camera that I use, by the way, Canon, I'm a Canon
I was
user.
going to ask about the cameras that you use and sort of any advice you give to, but I'll let you finish the story first.
I mean, the fact that Canon know me as, one of their photographers, it just makes me so happy and, it brings tears in my eyes because, it's an absolute dream come true to be recognized. And I've actually done a couple of jobs for them, and I've got a quietly, probably shouldn't tell you this, but I've got an exhibition coming up in London, which will be released in April. So I've got a piece of work going in London.
What's the
Which,
date and the location, if anyone's
oh, I'm not
interested?
supposed to tell anyone,
Oh,
really.
fair enough, fair enough. I thought we was gonna
I'm not supposed to tell say
go.
anything until March,
That's
which is,
fine, that's
yeah,
fine.
really,
But what they
which
will
is,
do is they're gonna follow you after, and they can find out when you do post that information, and they can check it out. But we'll come back to that.
I will be posting about it, and let's just say it's in a very big posh house in London, for 3 days in April. I can't really tell you much more than that at the moment. It'd be definitely something that people should go along to, and it's all connected with Canon and RNIB, which is the Royal National Institute for the Blind, which is really the they're like the big boys and girls in the blind world. So yeah, cool things coming up.
That's pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool. We've mentioned about Undateables and Canon and Sense and just you being a voice, for deafblind community. But I think one thing I've got to ask you, I can imagine how honored you must have felt to photograph for the Superhuman advert that launched the Paralympics 2020 Tokyo Games. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, totally honoured. Because I'll be honest, going back a little bit, when I walked out the courts back in 2012, when I lost everything in my life, my license, my house, everything, my job, and it was when the Paralympics, not the Olympics and the Paralympics were happening in 2012. So when I come out the courts, I went across the road to in Southend High Street, and they were doing that, where the person runs down the high street with a torch in their
Plus, I didn't get
hand.
robbed.
Give me that torch. I want to spark up a cigarette on there. So yeah, when I watched that, I was like, oh man, I wish I could get involved, with the Olympics. And it was just a thought in my mind. So come sort of 20, this is where I get really confused because it was in a pandemic, because it was either 21 or 22. I can't remember because they didn't actually change
Oh
the
I know
year.
I didn't mean that.
Do you remember? It was like so confusing. But yeah, I've got approached by Channel 4 to be part of the Superhuman advert that they do, before they sort of send them off to whatever country. That time it was Tokyo. It was a very strange Olympic year that year. But yeah, I was working with a director called Bradford Young, I think that's his name, and he was the director that filmed it all. And basically, they asked me to sort of be a fly on the wall, documenting the making of the advert, and also sort of in between having about 10 minutes with each of the para athletes. One was called Kadina Cots. She was on Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. Ellie Simmons. And Davy Smith, So yeah, that was an incredible experience, and still to this day I pinch myself. Incredibly nervous, like when I went out there to do it, but I was like, I'm a photographer, I know what I'm doing, I can do this. Just do what I do.
Working with Channel 4 again. Yeah.
And I made a little documentary. So if somebody, if anyone wants to watch it, it's on YouTube. Just type in Ian Trahan, Channel 4 Paralympics. There's a little short documentary of me photographing. It's kind of like a behind the scenes.
It's actually quite sweet, that video. And I think one of the athletes, she's shocked about your blindness, and she's smiling when you're taking the photos. That's a really cool moment.
Oh, who was that? What was that? Who was
I
that?
can't remember her
Cadim?
name. I can't remember the athlete's name. She's like smiling away. The narration says, "It might be you, Shane, actually." And when just doing the photos, and I think she's like, "Oh, well, I didn't know." And then you have like a nice interaction, and then the photos,
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that was Kadina Cock, because I learned that we shared a birthday. She's born on March the 10th. That's my birthday. But yeah, I kind of wanted to tell her that I'm a blind photographer, and she didn't know who I was, so I wanted to sort of build a very quick relationship, not just turn up and just photograph her and leave. I always like to connect with the people that I photograph. That's just part of my motive, I guess, really. I like to sort of bond, even if it's just for 5 minutes. But yeah, you have to sort of qu think quickly on your feet. And I shot everything on with my Canon camera, and I don't know if you noticed in the video, like one of my eyes was
Red, wasn't
really,
it?
really
Bloodshot.
bloodshot.
Yeah.
Yeah, really bad. I had a really bad migraine, like I think the day before, and I was in so much pain and my eye kind of just blew. So
Still did it
yeah.
though. I'm glad that
Yeah.
opportunity is not going to come every day. So I
No,
feel
you
respected for still participating in it.
just got a soldier on, and
Yeah.
it's such a adrenaline filled moment. Because really, when I'm photographing, I'm trying to get as much as everything as I can out of that sort of scene, because you're basically working around people, so you've got to be careful. You're not getting in the way of the director or the second director. You've got to be totally respectful of working around the team. You can't be, it's all about me, I'm the photographer. You've got to get all your best shots from, just being everywhere, really. I mean, I remember the director, Bradford Young, he was saying, God, you half get around, didn't you? Like, you're everywhere. And I was like,
Yeah.
yeah. Because you've got to seize every moment,
Yeah.
because once it's gone, it's
Yeah.
gone.
Got to capture as many moments as you can.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, it was definitely, I was very nervous meeting Ellie Simmons, because like, she was standing there, she's got like God knows how many gold medals around her neck. I mean, they even had a guy that had to stand there holding all her medals.
That's
I'm not joking.
all
Because literally she had them all around her neck, and because in between takes, there's a lot of waiting
Oh,
around.
yeah.
And so there's a guy literally like
Can't just put them on
holding.
the floor, can you?
I mean, yeah, I think she, I don't know, about eight around her neck. It's insane. But also being a film lover, at the same time I'm like watching like what everybody else is doing, how it all works, and it's a well-oiled machine,
You've even done your own film, haven't you? You've made your own film, like created it, haven't you? Not like,
Yeah,
not saying like a full picture film, but it was like about an
no,
hour or less than an hour.
I did one with a friend. She directed it, called her name Nikki Cornish. She directed it. She had this idea, a story, very basic. There was no script. It was kind of make it up as you go along, sort of working with her brain, and trying to sort of capture her sort of vision. And we sort of shot that in between all the lockdowns that we had in during the pandemic. And it was all shot with like one camera, one lens. So I had this idea. I just didn't want to have, again, it's all that less is more.
Yeah.
Want to carry too much gear, just one camera, one lens, just a 35 mil, and just working, around the parameters. all the challenges that come with that. So I would like to do more, but yeah, I'd simply
Find the
be doing
time
a
for it. I bet that's
the
difficult.
time, isn't it? You
Yeah.
know, but I've got some little projects sort of come up that might include some sort of like short 1 minute video, because I do like making short films that I
Yeah.
get a lot of enjoyment out of it. It's moving photography, essentially. Yeah.
Nah, that's sweet, man. Sweet. A few more questions, and probably questions for the camera nerds, the technical wizards out there. Because I feel like I should pick your brain, but there's going to be people out there what do want to know. So I want to ask you, which lens has been your favorite of your photography career?
It's interesting, yeah. So, like, when I first started doing photography, not strangely, but because I didn't have a lot of money, so I started off with a 1000D Canon, and I moved on to a 7D, which is what I've been using for the last 12 years now. And I still only had the basic lenses, so I had all the standard equipment, and everyone thought I had all these really, you know, sparkly, spanking new, expensive lenses. And it was like, no, I just got a standard lens. So I always try and sort of explain to people that, yeah, it's not really about how expensive all your equipment is. It's how you utilize the camera and lens, really. But over the last few years, I've managed to buy some secondhand lenses, because obviously things are moving on to the mirrorless stage now. I think DSLR is becoming sort of regarded as vintage, I guess. So I've got, how many lenses have I got? I've got a 17 to 40 millimeters, so it gives me my wide and a little bit of up close. I've got a 35 mil, 50 mil, 85 mil, and I've got the 70 to 200 mil. And I'll have to say, probably my favorite that I've been using a lot is the 85 mil for some reason. It's got a lot of depth of field because the f-stop is about 1.4, 1.2, can't remember.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a lens that you can kind of photograph from the distance, so you're not too intrusive. It's a prime lens, so there's no zooming in or anything. So you've got to zoom in with your feet. That's what I always tell people. If you're using a prime lens, zoom with your feet, you know, backward and forward, whatever. But yeah, I have enjoyed using the 85 mil. But yeah, I don't really like to have too many lenses. Again, it's all that less is more sort of motif idea. It's sort of knowing what the right lens is for the right scene, basically, you know, you're trying to sort of capture. But you know, if I was going away on holiday, I would take just like three lenses. I would take the 17 to 40 mil, 50 mil, and the 85 mil. So you got all the sort of focal lengths, and it's not too much to carry around, really, to be honest.
Nice.
But yeah.
I was into cameras like for a bit, right, with the media stuff, but I just remember like how expensive lenses were, like the good ones as well, and I was just like, I
It's expensive. I kid you
can't
not. I mean,
do
I only literally bought these lenses, and again, you know, I tell people they were secondhand, they're not brand new, they're all
Yeah.
secondhand. And yeah, and hopefully they will last me for quite a few years. But yeah, I had to wait a very, very long time before I could get, you know, the lenses that I wanted. But I started off, you know, all my earlier career, I would say 8 years, just using a standard, just a standard lens that comes with the kit equipment. So yeah, it's not about how expensive the gear you've got is,
I use it really.
it's how you use it, really, and understanding light and composition. Yeah, but yeah, I won't be buying any more lenses. That's it, I'm done now.
Nice.
And I'll
Yeah.
still carry on using the 7D. I mean, like I say, it's now moved into sort of the digital mirrorless era now. But I think I'll be one of those photographers that would just stick to, you know, the tools that I know, and
Works.
mainly it works. But also, coming from a blind perspective, you know, a lot of it is I feel around for the buttons, so a lot of it is all sort of memory based, and I don't really want to sort of,
Yeah, didn't think about that at all.
it's all those little details. So
Yeah.
if I get a new camera, I have to relearn it all again, and I don't really want to start all over again. And I have new mirrorless, and thankfully Canon are good at sort of keeping things similar. They don't sort of, come up with a new brand new concept. They kept it very similar to all the old gear, really. So, and yeah, I always tell people that, yeah, it's not about the make, the brand, or how expensive it is. It's just really understanding how to use the camera, really. I mean, I used a 1000D for about 3 years, and that's how I learned photography, which is learning the crap out of that, all standard equipment. And I learned everything through good old Google. I've never been to uni, I've never gone to college. I'm not an academic person.
No actual education in specifically for photography.
Exactly. Yeah, right. There's no qualification. Well, there is, I think there is, but I don't put the academic side down. I think it's what you can get out of it. For me, I knew that I wouldn't be any good sitting in a classroom. I've got to be out there doing it, learning it, fucking it up.
Learning from your own mistakes.
Yeah, learning all from your mistakes, figuring it all out. That's how I learn. For somebody else, going to college, uni, might be the right way, but I'm not a person that sits in a classroom.
Makes notes. Got you. No, I'm not listening to
I fall asleep,
what
unfortunately.
I
Yeah, I'm just not
Everyone
that
is different. I went to uni as
special
well, and I
fan.
just found by the last year, I just felt myself like just being bored a lot. And there's no disrespect to like specific teachers there. They were doing what they are good at because they've been here for a while. But as myself, I like to do it myself. I want to go out there. I, like you said, learn from my mistakes, be creative, fuck things up, but also, just test it, do this, do that, be creative and
Don't be
have
afraid.
some fun.
It's the best way. And like I say, we live in a world now where, you can go and Google, somebody's made a video about something that, you've got a question in your head. Somebody's even done a blog. You really got a library of information. And to be honest, in a lot of ways, in a good way, I still feel like I'm learning. I feel like an amateur in a lot of ways. And I think it's good to be like that. It keeps you questioning, why is that happening? Why does that work? And ways challenge yourself to, do something a little bit different, get out of your comfort zone. But yeah, it's like I say, it's not about the make or brand, it's what you find easiest to use. For me, it just happened to be Canon. And I love my 7D. I know it very well. I know what it can do. I know what it can't do. So I'll probably be one of those vintage guys that would be continuing using DSLR, well, I won't be using very futuristic. For me, this is my
One
personal opinion.
camera, one light, but it is
That's
working for you,
it.
mate. Your stuff is good. It is very
It
good.
works. It works for you. It works. And I think, it's the best way to think, really.
I
But
like
yeah,
it.
challenging yourself. And also, if you've got a disability, I mean, I've met a lot of blind photographers, who really felt very much the same as myself, that because you're a blind person, you probably shouldn't be taking photos because you probably can't do it, or you get judged. What outcomes, that person taking photos, he's supposed to be blind. So a lot of people sort of felt they weren't allowed to do photography. Me personally, I say screw all that. If you've got passion, enthusiasm, and you want to do it, you do it. That's it. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks.
Massive respect here. And that's a really good way to end the interview. And as a sign off from yourself, as I said, like genuinely got respect for you and your photography, brought such huge awareness for disabilities. Like I said, deaf blind sense as a foundation. And just I can imagine it being difficult, but you not let it stop you. And someone out there Don't let it stop you either. You create a unique portfolio. So I know you said like you want to capture as many folks as you can, but just remember it is actually going to be around for a very long time. Even when you and I are gone, it will still be there. So just remember that, mate.
That's what I like to think. And also, I know we're not doing a wrestling thing, but I did actually watch the Iron Claw the other day.
Did you? What do you think?
I really enjoyed it. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm not a huge big fan of wrestling. I mean, I liked it when I was a kid.
So
But
you
yeah,
grew up then, I didn't.
I grew out of it very quickly. But no, the film, yeah, shot beautifully. The story was just
Really
so
impressive.
very tragic story, but
Yeah.
done really well, and almost based obviously on a true story of the family.
On Eric's, yeah.
And you don't even need to like wrestling or even know about these people, because the film will explain everything. And yeah, it was absolutely heart and gut wrenching. And also Zac Efron was just ridiculously henched in it.
Enormous. Like, I bet there was no drug tests on the set of that film. That's all I'm gonna say about that. The way he ballooned like that quick. I know he's always been a leg guy. He's always been ripped.
Yeah, you can
But
tell
for
he's a
him to,
dedicated guy.
I like him
Yeah.
though. I think he's done some good films.
Oh,
And obviously, High School
yeah,
Musical. I
same.
don't care if this is on the podcast or
No.
being recorded. Massive soft spot.
No, I said the same thing. I've got a lot of respect for him. I think as he's getting older, I think he's getting better.
Yeah, he's matured as an actor.
Yeah, he's definitely, because I think he kind of got labeled and sort of pigeonholed into a certain, he's this pretty boy.
Yeah,
There's so much
like doing
more.
like Baywatch and stuff, and just no one was into that. Let's be honest, it was such a bad
Oh, I love Baywatch. Weirdly, I've been watching the reruns, and I think,
Really?
yeah, because I grew up with that. That was
Yeah,
my, I was like, yeah,
was that in
young.
the magazine, your sister's magazines as well?
And Gladiators. And Gladiators.
God,
That was
Gladiator!
my
I've not
Saturday
watched the
night.
reboot though. I do want to check it out, but.
I wouldn't
Yeah.
bother.
I think I'm gonna check the highlights because I'm quite interested, but I've just completely forgot about it. But at the same
Yeah.
time, like someone I know is obsessed with it, keeps like, he needs to watch it. All right, well. But so I want to watch it and then be like, pause. I'm gonna watch the other one now. Yeah, it's actually happy again.
Yeah, it hasn't got, for me, obviously watching the original and
Yeah.
seeing the modern day of, health and safety has obviously been a huge factor in the new
Not
ones,
as
but
many injuries then.
no. But yeah, it's a shame because yeah, Baywatch and the film, yeah, they kind of sort of ruined it, really. It kind of turned into a comedy.
Hollywood. I blame The Rock for everything these days. It's his fucking fault.
Yeah.
But nah, that's cool, man. Ian, my
Yeah.
voice is going now. I'm watching, seeing Power Rangers, not Power Rangers, Gladiators. My voice is gone now. Oh God, oh God. Im, where
Yeah.
can the listeners find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram, which is Ian underscore Trahan. I'm on Facebook and I'm on LinkedIn. Don't use Twitter very much, but mainly Instagram is the place to go where all my photography tends to be and updates.
Awesome. I'll send them your way. They can actually get up to date with you. Good luck with your exhibition in April. I'm sure I'm going to find more information about it nearer the time in March when you release more information about it. So that'd be good to hear, mate. And just any future projects you got, I look forward to hearing about it and seeing it. And your photos as well. Your portfolio is awesome. And I'll keep in contact with you as well. I know you enjoy some of my statuses. I do post a lot, right? But yeah, that's all good. That's all good. But Ian, thank you for coming on. I'll put your details in the description below. If the listeners can also follow me on my social media handles in the description below, that'd be great. Like this video, give Ian a follow, give me a follow, subscribe to the channel, and enjoy the rest of your day. Take care. Peace.